give us an idea of what will be accomplished for the entire year. So it's extremely important. God has enabled us to do some very wonderful things, and with God's help and blessing, we can even step forward and do more for the Lord and bring more glory to His name. Now today, at the close of the service, Eric and Patty Ryan are going to share with you their journey in the subject of stewardship. They did a beautiful job last night, and I'm going to try to shorten my message since they had a lot to say, and it was so delightful. It was so great to hear the two of them explain their journey. And I think you're going to be really moved by it. They're going to talk about Malachi 3, which is one of my favorite verses. It's the verse that God used primarily to change my life on the subject of giving. It's a very simple lesson because God raised the question with the people, would anyone dare to try to rob from God? No one in their right mind would do that, would they? And the people more or less said, well, we can't conceive of that. Nobody would do that. And then God said to them, the truth is, you are robbing from me. You may think you're not, but you are robbing from me by the fact that you're not giving sufficient offerings. You give a measly offering, you give a miserly offering, and you think I should be satisfied with that, when in fact, I expect you to give me the full tithes and the offerings and the gifts, and you don't do that, so really you're keeping what belongs to me, and that's robbery from me. And of course, the people were very shocked, and they just couldn't comprehend that. And then God gives to them a challenge. It's the only time in Scripture that I know of where God asks us to challenge Him. In fact, there are numerous places in Scripture where God warns us, don't think you can play games with me. Don't think you can test me as though we're in some sort of a game. So this is a very exceptional section of Scripture here, especially verses 10, 11, and 12 of Malachi 3. 8 and 9 lead up to that. It's a whole entire section there. And God says, why don't you test me and see whether I'll keep my word? Why don't you try it? Why don't you see what will happen? And what God is talking about is very specifically giving. You know, a lot of people like to say, well, God wants us to give our time. He wants us to give our energy. He wants us to give our talents. You'll hear people talk a lot about that. This section, God is talking about giving money. He's talking about the gifts that He wants to receive from us. And it's an incredible section. I can remember the first few times that I read this and thought about it. It's a direct test from God. He says, if you believe me, you will believe that I will keep my word and I will bless you. I will take care of you. If you don't believe me, then obviously you're not going to put me to the test. Now, one of the sections of Scripture, and there are so many of them, it's not just dozens, it's hundreds. Can you imagine, and I don't have the exact number here for you, but can you imagine if you took every verse of the New Testament, just think of that, all the chapters and all the verses, one out of every six talks about giving. Really, one-sixth of every sermon ought to have a reference to giving. Or put it another way, every sixth sermon, if you're going to preach straight through the Bible, ought to be on the subject of giving. So God talks over and over and over on this in an endless way, all the way through His Scriptures, about giving. And so He has a lot to say. Now, one of the things on this subject that I believe correlates with this is something that just popped in my mind again this week, because he really is laying on the line with us. He's saying, you really are the ones that control this. You, my children, are the ones that control this. It's almost like a father giving an allowance to his children. It's the same sort of thing. If you give your child an allowance and they don't know how to use it and they blow it in and they throw it all away on candy or whatever in their foolishness, the parent is going to be wise enough to say, well, now, you're not going to get that much anymore. You don't know what to do with it. You don't know how to use it, and I don't want to ruin your life. Therefore, you're not going to get that kind of allowance anymore. For your sake, you're the one that controls that. Because you don't know how to use it, I'm not going to give you as much. There is a section in the Scriptures that I started to say correlates with this. God says, you determine the measure that I will use to give to you. Now, let me explain that. You know, they talk about measurement vessels, the different, 8 ounces, 16 ounces, 32 ounces, a gallon, so on. There are all kinds of measurements. And back in those days, they had even more than that. They had all kinds of things. They had temple weights. They had all kinds of things to measure with. Now, what God is really saying is, if you give from the things that I have given you, if you give sparingly, let's say you decide to use a teaspoon to hand out your blessings to others in doing God's work, let's say that's what you decide to do, sprinkle around some things with a little teaspoon. God says, now if that was your choice, then he will use the same measure. He will take that teaspoon that you're using to give to you. You determine how much it's going to be. If you give to God using a measuring cup, then he will use that measuring cup to give to you. If you give to God with a barrel, then he will use that same measure, a barrel, to bless you with. You determine that. If you're a lousy giver, you're saying to God, I don't expect very much from you, God, because I don't trust you. I don't really believe you. I don't really think you're going to keep your word. So I'm just kind of miserly, and I just kind of don't think too much is going to happen. And God says, okay, that's the way you want to play the game. I'll use the same measure that you decide to use to give back to you. Do you see what an incredible truth that is? We determine how God is going to bless us. That's an incredible statement, and that's what God makes throughout the Scriptures. He backs it up with a lot of different illustrations. And so the thing that was so beautiful about Eric and Patty Ryan last night, they had the Holy Spirit in them to such an extent that they gave us a picture of their journey. They started out talking about when they first came here that they weren't very good givers. And they kind of resented what they did give. And Patty was very open about this. She said, I'm supposed to feel the joy and the love of giving. She said, I really didn't. I didn't feel that way. I kind of, it didn't hit me that way at all. And they took us on a journey of their faith as they grew and as they began to understand. And then he added a point to this. He said, I used to feel it was our obligation. We kind of had to do this. Well, we might as well do it if we have to do it. And he said, it was quite a discovery when I began to realize after writing the check, I enjoyed that. It never had occurred to me that way before. I never thought I could actually want to give to God and feel joy when I did give to God. And I feel God used them in such a beautiful way last night to talk to the people that if you listen carefully, you will see a journey of faith that the two of them have made. And it's a beautiful thing to see how they've grown and how they've committed themselves to the Lord. Now, getting back to the illustrations that God uses, I'm not going to take too long because they took a number of minutes to share their journey, and I don't want to cut them short at the end of the service. But let me Let me give a couple little references that I hope you'll jot down and look at in the next 2 weeks. Whenever we talk about stewardship, there are always those that will come forward and say, I just can't. I just can't. I'd love to. I wish I could, but I can't. Now, those, I just warn those people, be very careful. Be very careful when you say to God that you have nothing. Be careful with that. Because God knows. God knows He's the one that gave it to you. Now, we've always had, and we tell the new members this, there's always a danger that somebody could be in real need and we don't know it. As far as Douglas and I are concerned, we do not know anybody in serious need in our parish. Now, we're not all on the same economic level. That's just the way life is. But we don't know of anybody that is going hungry, in some way unable to live. We are not aware of that. If we were, we have given thousands of dollars. There's a love fund in this congregation. And when we see somebody in real need, now we're not talking about needing money to keep their business going. We're not talking about a family wishing they could go on a vacation or something like that. We're not just handing out money. But if there is a need, we need to know about that. And there's always been a policy in this parish. If anyone says, I'm giving way too much and I shouldn't have given this much, all you have to do is mention it and your entire offering will be returned to you. If you say, I'm in trouble financially and I can't stand what's happening and I regret giving to God, if you regret giving to God, let us know. And your gift will be completely returned to you, because we know God will not honor any gift that's not joyfully given. If you wish you hadn't given it, say so, and it'll be given back to you. We're not playing any games here. This is probably one of the most unique parishes you're going to find anywhere. I don't know any other congregation that offers to give you back your offering. We are serious about these things that God is talking about, and we mean them, and we want you to believe them. One of the things that people will say, I mentioned, is I just don't have anything to give. I just can't do it. Well, jot down 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter, verse 12. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 12 says very clearly, God does not expect us to give from what we don't have. If you don't have it, God doesn't expect you to give it. It's right there in the Holy Scriptures. He only is asking from what He's given you. That's all. Just from what He has given you. You can't compare that to anyone else's giving. It has nothing to do with the budget of the congregation. That's where 99% of the Lutheran churches and all the others combined get it wrong. All of them talk about budgets. They talk about salaries. They talk about buildings. Do you realize that your giving to the Lord has nothing to do with whether or not the church is in debt or not? It has nothing to do with that. Church could be very much in debt. That doesn't mean you should give more. Let's say the church has no debt, as is the case here at Our Shepherd. We have no debt. Does that mean, therefore, you shouldn't give as much? It has nothing to do with the budget of the congregation. It has a little to do with it. Someday we can talk about that if you want to, you know, talk about that. But the giving has to do with what God has given you. That's it. Based on what God has given you. Now, he has some wonderful little illustrations in the Scriptures. You know, I better get my... Douglas, would you bring my glasses out, please? I can't even read my own writing anymore without glasses. That's pretty bad, isn't it? Thank you. Appreciate it. I wrote kind of small. Oh, yes, okay. Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. You know, if you read Matthew 6 in the New English translations, it really upsets me. It really upsets me when they don't translate the Greek correctly. You know, we had to study Greek at the seminary. We had to know what the actual words were. And in the translations in English, they just don't get it. They don't get it. For instance, where it says in the Greek, God loves a hilarious giver. You know what they say in the English? A cheerful giver. Well, that's not the same thing. Being cheerful isn't the same thing as being hilarious. Those are two different words. Here's another, this verse here. They do not translate it. Does anyone know what the word mammon means? How many times did you use that word this week? Did you talk about mammon this week? Nobody knows what the Sam Hill mammon means. Why do they do that in the English translations? I don't know. It must be a trick of the devil or something. Because the word is money. The Greek word is money. In Matthew 6, that's verse 24. No one can serve two masters. He cannot serve God and, it's not mammon, it's God and money. That's what God says. You cannot serve both of them. You got to love one, hate the other. It's a love-hate type of thing. And if you think you can serve them both at the same time, you're fooling yourself. Can't be done. You got to make a choice. Now, that's very clear in the Bible. That's where he talks about don't worry about the clothing you wear. Don't worry about the food you eat and so on. Doesn't God feed the birds? Doesn't God clothe the flowers? And he talks all about that. He says, don't worry about that. The heathen worry about that. They worry. What's going to happen to me next year, next week, when I retire? They all are thinking about that because their God is money. That's why they think so much about that and worry so much about that. You know, it's just so clear and so simple once the Holy Spirit breaks through and you begin to see that. It's just fantastic. Well, take a look at 1 Timothy 6. I love that because it's a nothing in, nothing out. You don't put anything in, you don't get anything out. It's so basic, all of these illustrations, and I just want to close with two little illustrations here. Sowing, that's something God talks a lot about, sowing the seed. You will reap what you sow. Let's say you decide you want a field of corn. If you want a field of corn, you have to sow a field with corn. That's how you get a field of corn. If you put one kernel of corn in a hole and move over a few feet, put another kernel of corn in a hole, move over another few feet, and put another kernel of corn in a hole, the Bible says you will get three corn stalks. Not a field, not a dozen. You'll get three because that's what you planted. You see how practical God is. You sow and you will reap what you sow. Not more than what you sow, or not five times what you sow. Now that comes with his blessing when he decides to bless you. He can give you 10 times what you sow. But he wants you to understand you're determining by how much you plant. It really is so basic. If the Holy Spirit can work in your heart this morning to have you understand your relationship with God and your love with him and your entire being is partly dependent on how you give. And you regulate and control that by how much faith and trust you put in God. If it's a small amount, you're not going to feel much joy, and you're not going to feel too excited about your relationship with God. I feel so blessed that Patty last night, she said, I knew there was something wrong with my life. I went to a doctor, and I asked her, what's wrong with me? I don't feel that great. I don't feel that good. There's something missing. And that doctor talked to her about God, a Christian doctor. You need God more in your life. You need to trust God more. You need to see what your purpose is in life. Marvelous witness, marvelous witness. One last little point here now, and that is you know, I think I'm just going to stop talking. I'm just going to stop. If at this point the fear and the concern and the love of the world and the love of money is so great that we screen it out and don't allow it to enter into our consciousness, the Holy Spirit can't do very much. It's the same way with our relationship with other people. To whatever extent we are open for God's Holy Spirit to work in us and use us, those are the things that God will prove to us. He will show us. He will reveal it to us. He will share with us. It's a fantastic thing as it works properly. And within a congregation like ours, the more people that experience that and grow in that, the greater we all together, the greater things we can do to the glory of God. And these little illustrations of giving allowances and so on, that's the way God pictures it to us. If your child is learning how to save for college or learning how to save for the right things and not blowing it all in, you're going to give them and say, well, now this year you're a little older, you're a little more mature, and you're learning how to save and you're learning how to use things properly, your allowance is going to be raised. We're going to give you a little more. Now, whenever I talk about this, I know there will be somebody, and I'm going to close with this thought, I know there will be somebody that say, but I am giving sacrificially. And God knows it, and I know it, and yet I'm not getting that financial blessing. Now, that can be. That could be. Doesn't happen often. Most of the time, the blessings are financial. Almost, I would have to say 85, 90% of the time, God blesses financially. But not always. And he's clear about that too. And I thought this past week about a woman in this parish. She's still a member here. When I first came here, I was shocked when I found out that every Saturday night, her husband beat her, physically beat her. Now, he was a smart cookie, never hit her in the face. She never had a black eye. She never had bruises. No one would ever know this. But she informed me of it, and I said, you don't have to stay with that man. If your life is in danger, you should divorce him. You should leave him. He's endangering your life. Well, but God wants me to stay married. I want to keep trying. I want to hope. He was an alcoholic, and he would not reform. And I can remember praying for her those first few months that I was here. I prayed desperately for her. And one Sunday morning I was praying for her. It had been weeks that I had been praying for her. God, where is her blessing, God? I keep telling her that if she trusts in you, you will bless her. Where are her blessings, God? I don't see them. And then one Sunday morning when I was giving communion, I turned around from the altar here, and there standing at the communion railing with a lot of other members was this woman and four of her adult children, grown children. And it hit me. Oh, God, thank you, God. I know what our blessings are now. Think of the number of parents who've had children that have forsaken the Lord, left the Lord, flat out don't believe in Him anymore. They don't worship. They don't commune. They don't care less, and they certainly don't give. Now, here was this woman. Her four children all committed to the Lord. They would not miss church. They still do not miss church. They're here every single Sunday. They know their mother went through an awful lot for her faith, And it was no game. It wasn't, you should try this, or it was a matter of life and death. This is the most important thing. And they grew up knowing this is extremely important. What a blessing. Would any parent not say that that is a blessing from God if your children are totally committed to the Lord? So there can be a lot of different kinds of blessings. Don't think it'll always be money. I don't think we should hesitate to talk about the blessings of money, because usually it is. God's talking about that very plainly and clearly, and He does it over and over again in the Scripture. But not always. If God chooses it should be some other kind of blessing, be assured it'll be a great one and a wonderful one, and one that you will deeply, deeply appreciate. God knows how to give to His children. Amen.